15 years after escaping the corrupt Bendini law firm, Mitch McDear has rebuilt his life as a partner at prestigious Scully & Pershing in Manhattan. His corner office on the 48th floor overlooks Central Park, a far cry from his humble Kentucky beginnings. Despite his success negotiating billion-dollar mergers for Fortune 500 clients, Mitch maintains modest habits, taking the subway instead of black sedans and living in a Brooklyn brownstone with his wife Abby and 8-year-old twin sons. The comfortable life he's constructed begins to unravel when a pro bono death row case brings him back to Memphis, the city he fled under deadly circumstances years ago. Though the inmate mysteriously dies before Mitch arrives, this brief encounter with America's shadowy justice system foreshadows the international intrigue to come. Returning to Memphis forces Mitch to confront ghosts he's long avoided. Walking through the renovated Bendini building, passing landmarks that trigger vivid memories of his narrow escape. Over lunch with Lamar, a former colleague who spent 27 months in federal prison after the firm's collapse, Mitch reveals his untold journey, escaping by boat to the Caymans, living on the run with money taken from the firm, eventually settling in Cortona, Italy, where they rented a cottage for €300 monthly. After 3 years immersed in Italian culture, they moved to London, where Mitch's Harvard credentials opened doors at Scully's office there. 2 years later, with Abby pregnant, they returned to America. Jack Rutsch, the firm's managing partner, summons Mitch with urgent news. Luca Sandroni, a respected partner in Rome, has terminal cancer and needs Mitch to take over his key client. Lanik, a Turkish construction company, built the Great Gaddafi Bridge in Libya, an $800 million project that exceeded $1 billion due to Gaddafi's demands. Despite completing the massive 6-lane bridge spanning a non-existent river in the Sahara, Libya refuses to pay the outstanding $400 million. In Rome, Luca reveals his aggressive pancreatic cancer gives him less than 6 months to live, and requests that his daughter Giovanna, an international arbitration specialist, join the Lanik case. Mitch agrees, unknowingly setting himself on a path that will test his legal expertise, courage, and moral compass. What appears to be a straightforward international arbitration conceals a deadly web of political intrigue and terrorism. The bridge itself symbolizes the divide between Western business interests and Middle Eastern political realities, a tension that intensifies as the assignment's true nature unfolds. After a 30-hour journey, Mitch arrives in Tripoli to meet Samir Jamblad, a local security consultant working with Lanik. At the Corinthia Hotel, he meets Giovanna Sandroni, multilingual with law degrees from Queen Mary and UVA. They're assigned 4 armed Turkish security personnel for the bridge inspection. The next morning, severe food poisoning confines Mitch to a military hospital while Giovanna proceeds alone. At a checkpoint, the convoy is ambushed. Guards order everyone out, and when one emerges with a security team member's pistol, the protesting driver is shot dead. Giovanna vanishes. The situation worsens where the Turkish security team is found beheaded, their bodies hanging from a bridge cable and their heads arranged on a plank. No demands follow. Libyan officials quickly contain the scene, though a graphic video spreads online. The regime blames a notorious tribal gang from Chad in apparent disinformation. Meanwhile, Giovanna endures psychological torture, moved repeatedly between lean-tos and cellars, never staying anywhere longer than 3 nights. Her only human contact is a silent teenage girl who brings minimal food. After 40 days in isolation, she viscerally understands the cruelty of solitary confinement she once academically studied. The crisis escalates when Abby McDear receives an envelope from a Muslim woman containing a phone and a note from someone named Noura. The note warns against government involvement and claims Noura is the key to Giovanna. Most alarmingly, the phone contains surveillance photos of the McDear children, their home, and Mitch's office. When Noura calls, the demand is clear, $100 million within 10 days for Giovanna's release. To prove their resolve, the terrorists firebombed Scully and Pershing's Barcelona office, their second attack following Athens. The firm's management committee divides between those wanting FBI involvement and those opposing it, though partner Bart Ambrose repeatedly emphasizes, "She's one of us." The targeting of Mitch's family transforms the crisis from professional to deeply personal. The surveillance of his children creates such vulnerability that Mitch and Abby send their sons to a remote main island with her parents. This blurring of professional and personal boundaries raises the stakes dramatically. Mitch must now save both his colleague's daughter and protect his own family. With the deadline looming, Mitch launches a desperate international quest for ransom money. The firm's kidnapping insurance claim fails due to terrorism exclusions. After the management committee contributes only $10 million, Mitch and Luca personally guarantee the remaining $90 million, though they're still far short. Mitch pursues multiple solutions simultaneously, approaching British and Italian governments, seeking settlement of the Lanek lawsuit, and contributing $10 million of his own money, funds he took from the Bendini firm years earlier. His efforts span multiple countries, coordinating between governments, banks, and intermediaries. A horrific video is released showing three Libyan soldiers being executed, with a shrouded woman, presumably Giovanna, standing with a noose before being led away. The viral video destroys any chance of settlement with Libya. In a disturbing twist, Nora directs Mitch to Grand Cayman, where his troubles began 15 years ago, to establish an account at Trinidad Trust Bank. This connection raises troubling questions about who's really behind Giovanna's kidnapping and how much they know about Mitch's past. After securing $75 million instead of the demanded $100 million, Abby meets Hassan in Marrakesh. When he confirms the money's arrival, he abruptly leaves. Panicked, Abby rushes into the crowded Medina until Nora appears, guiding her to a coffee shop where Giovanna waits, alive. The reunion is emotional as Abby calls Mitch with the good news. On the flight to Rome, Giovanna reveals her captors moved her to a hotel the night before, allowing her first bath in 40 days. At Luca's villa, the family celebrates joyously, with Luca looking 10 years younger despite his illness. Through this ordeal, Mitch discovers the limits of corporate loyalty when crisis demands personal sacrifice. The ransom negotiation exposes colleagues who refuse to risk their wealth despite the firm's family rhetoric. This disillusionment leads him to leave his prestigious position. Mitch shows unwavering loyalty to those who deserve it, contrasting sharply with the conditional support from partners who abandoned Giovanna when saving her required personal risk. His journey comes full circle as he again chooses integrity over prestige. The money that haunted him becomes an instrument of redemption when used toward Giovanna's ransom. While we can reinvent ourselves, our past shapes who we become. The skills Mitch developed outwitting the mob 15 years ago become the tools helping him navigate this new crisis, proving life prepares us for future trials in unexpected ways.